know, Rick Perry's got a 26-year public record in Texas. Having said that, I think we're going to find out a lot more about Rick Perry in the next 6 weeks than we've known over the last 26 years.
That's Ashley Cruz Turner, political analyst and history professor at McLennan Community College. He's long covered Texas politics, which means he's long covered the career of Rick Perry. Baylor political science professor Patrick Flavin is relatively new to Texas, having grown up in Minnesota. But even from his perspective as somewhat of an outsider to the Lone Star State, he sees why Perry is poised to make noise in the primary process.
Rick Perry deciding to enter the presidential race is a very astute and calculated political move on his part, and for many reasons. One, he brings executive leadership to the table. If you look at the past several presidential elections, Barack Obama, who was a senator, was actually an exception to the rule. The second is that Rick Perry ideologically stands to really be able to bridge the gap or kind of put himself in between the two other perceived frontrunners right now, the first being Michelle Bachmann, who has a lot of support among Tea Party activists and even more support among Christian evangelicals. On one hand, probably the furthest right on the spectrum. Then on the more moderate side of the spectrum, you have Mitt Romney, the perceived frontrunner right now, who's more of an establishment candidate, especially among business interests. Now, Rick Perry could potentially bridge the divide between them by positioning himself as a governor who's been fiscally conservative, but also brings social values to the table that Christian evangelicals would agree with.
That gap between the Tea Party and the moderates is one that Perry has bridged before. In the gubernatorial primary of 2010, he did just that, defeating Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison and Tea Party candidate Deborah Medina on his way to claiming a third term as governor. That race, said Ashley Cruz Turner, could foreshadow his Republican primary strategy.
There was a sense that Perry was vulnerable. I think it's fair to say a more moderate Republican, a national Republican, came back into Texas, going to try to take the governorship away from him. And Perry, you know, who he's got a tradition of this, a history of this, turned his sights on Kay Bailey Hutchison and defeated her and won his ninth election in a row in Texas. He's 9-0. And so it was a remarkable moment. And it also had something, I also think it was something of a precursor to what he's about here. It wasn't just a primary against Kay Bailey Hutchison. He had someone who was on his left. That's maybe not the right thing. I mean, he was more moderate, to the moderate side within the Republican Party. And then he also had to face a viable Tea Party candidate in Deborah Medina. And so for a lot of the folks who, a lot of the national pundits who are looking at this race and saying, we'll see what Perry does, he's really done something very similar already. Deborah Medina was really an amazing candidate. And in a lot of ways, I think there are some similarities between her and Michelle Bachmann. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, there was this more moderate, safer choice. Kay Bailey Hutchison doesn't exactly mirror Mitt Romney, but there's some similarities there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Perry's affiliation with the Tea Party. And it's interesting because, as you mentioned, there was a legitimate Tea Party candidate in the gubernatorial election. And you could argue, again, Michelle Bachmann, the more legitimate Tea Party candidate in this election. Yet, from the get-go, he seemed to recognize where the trend was going, and it seemed to align himself with that pretty quickly.
I think he did. That is, again, I think in some ways the national media has sort of missed sort of the brilliant political maneuver that Perry pulled off in the primary. Again, threading the needle between the Tea Party and a more moderate wing. And I don't, you know, we always talk about that April 15th statement that he made that I think in some ways gets distorted and exaggerated, where he opened the door to secession. Although, again, I think anyone who tries to make a secessionist out of Rick Perry, it's just not credible. But that, a lot of people have argued that whole scene was designed to stoke the fires of the Tea Party throughout the nation, and it did to a degree, but it didn't really it didn't do much for him with the Tea Party within Texas. Again, Medina was a very strong Tea Party candidate and got 20% of the Republican electorate in the primary. What Perry carved out for himself is not necessarily a Tea Party candidacy, but he has focused on being a 10th Amendment conservative. But the 10th Amendment conservative as a governor of Texas, the idea that go back to the old 10th Amendment that we've really sort of discarded over the last 100 years, but that says that anything that the Constitution doesn't specifically say that the federal government can do goes back to the states. And so what Rick Perry has really tried to frame himself as is a person who is going to roll back the clock on the power of the federal government. And that's a revolutionary idea. And that's one of the – when you hear Rick Perry described as a radical conservative, it really is a radical idea. And I quite frankly, it's an idea that 3 or 4 years ago would have been laughed out of town. I'm reminded of the old Victor Hugo line that there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And the timing, again, it's all timing. And Rick Perry's got a reputation for having great political timing or being lucky, depending on who's talking about it. But the timing is really amazing. We're in the middle of this discussion about Washington being broken. So the idea that Rick Perry wants to come in and roll that back a little, I don't know that that's possible. But it's an intriguing idea that nobody would have considered 10 years ago that people may be ready to look at right now.
Perry brings intriguing strengths to the race, but both Flavin and Cruz Turner say he also has his share of areas of possible vulnerability.
Being from Texas is one thing that people like to talk about, that the idea that he feels too much like another George W. Bush. There is the idea that people always bring up how many executions there are in Texas, and the Todd Willingham case comes up a lot. There is the Trans-Texas Corridor. There's the Gardasil thing. There are a series of things that come up. I tend to think that that Perry actually controls his own destiny. There's this pathway to the nomination, or at least pathway to this binary race for the nomination. He's on it. There are two things I think that can derail Perry. And maybe only two, and that is uncovering some scandal. I mean, he's been in the public square for 26 years, and the Texas press has scrutinized him fairly heavily, but it won't be anything like the intense scrutiny of the national media. If there's something there, it's going to be found, and if a scandal is uncovered, obviously that would derail him. The other thing is just a big gaffe, or not even maybe a big gaffe, just over time, the sense that that we can't deal with Perry's public persona. You talked about him being a good speaker. He is. But is he too much of a preacher? Is he too provincial? And so if he doesn't wear well over time, or if he comes out and makes some big disqualifying gaffe.
Cruz Turner mentioned Perry's speech sounding like that of a preacher. The governor's incorporation of faith and politics is one, says Dr. Patrick Flavin, that could serve him well initially, but is something to watch if he reaches the general election.
Well, it would be interesting to see how that would turn out, how that would play in the general election should he receive the nomination. In the primary cut, in the nomination phase, I think it will play very well to Republican base supporters. He'll probably be able to pull off support from supporters of Michelle Bachmann, who have lined up support behind her chiefly because of her evangelical Christian social values. The thing that Perry brings to the table that Michelle Bachmann might not is that I think he can also, again, bring in those that are more concerned with fiscal responsibility and those that are concerned with where the Republican Party stands on economic issues. So I think in the primary race, it's certainly going to be an asset. Come the general election, that stands to be seen. And I mean, there's kind of different there's arguments out there about what wins presidential elections. And one is that what wins presidential elections is turning out your base. And if what wins presidential elections is getting people that already support you out to the polls, Perry's evangelical Christian and him having a very public faith life will probably be an asset. But if you want to think presidential elections are won by convincing moderates and independents to vote for you, then it remains to be seen whether that might be a turnoff for those that either aren't religious folks or people that are uncomfortable with a politician being so public about his faith.
Both Flavin and Cruz Turner see the Texas governor as a formidable candidate, and his inclusion in the race is sure to bring national scrutiny to the job creation, immigration, and politics Texas style taking place here since he took over for another Texas governor, one who occupied the office that Perry now vies to attain. For KWBU News, I'm Derek Smith.